Ronald Reagan once said, "Freedom is never more than one generation away from extinction. We didn't pass it to our children in the bloodstream. It must be fought for, protected, and handed on for them to do the same." End quote. Does cultural Marxism, including critical race theory, curb our liberties? Dorothy Logan, who lives in Lake Wales, Florida, has written a book called Black and White, an essay on critical theory, freedom, and the pursuit of happiness. Dorothy says, quote, "The goal of critical theory is a reversal of the system." And she adds, "To be free, we must live as though we are free because we are." End quote. Dorothy Logan founded Freedom Academy in 2020. She has taught critical thinking, worldview, cultural history, and political science at the university level for more than 20 years. This is Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and Dorothy Logan joins us now. Dorothy, welcome to the program. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
So you teach critical theory, not to be, I'm sorry, you teach critical thinking, not to be confused with critical theory. So what is critical theory? And we've all heard of critical race theory. What is that as well?
So critical theory is often misdefined as the Hegelian dialectic, which is why I first go into a little bit of a primer at the beginning of the book to describe why it's not the Hegelian dialectic, which interprets history. But instead, it's a false dialectic, and it's always about power reversal. So when you think about critical theory, they actually use false premises or false facts to set up their logic to then promote the strategy or the goal for that power reversal. So then with critical race theory, all critical theory is designed to do the same thing, which is to destroy the current system. Whatever the current power structure is, we want to destroy that. And that's with critical race theory, they focus on the racial aspects of it. They use false premises, false facts, in order to set up a logic or a version of history that they need to then oppose to reverse that power structure.
Okay, so here we are right now. We're having this discussion in November of the year of our Lord, 2023, and Israel versus Hamas is in the news. Now, after the horrific attack of October 7th by Hamas against Israeli men, women, and children, even babies, something like 40 babies, Israeli babies, were beheaded in that attack. Okay, so essentially what critical theory says is that the Palestinian people are the oppressed no matter what they do. Meanwhile, the Israelis are the oppressors no matter who they are. So even that Israeli baby, in effect, deserves to die because of this power reversal that they are seeking. Is that right? I mean, am I saying this correctly?
You are absolutely right. Because of the, especially when you see these young people in universities, especially supporting these horrific actions, I believe they do know what they're doing. Some people say they might not know, but because of their immersion in this critical theory way of thinking, everything's justified. Babies, children, they're all a part of the oppressor class as long as they're Israelis. They must be eliminated. That's how it goes. There's no innocent children. There are no innocent teenagers. There's no innocence on the oppressor side of the equation.
And another thing, too, when you were talking about how the power reversal, those seeking the power reversal, they basically wanted to destroy the existing order. This reminds me of something. I don't know if you're familiar with Dr. Paul Kanger of Grove City College. We've had him on the program many times. But he wrote a book called The Devil and Karl Marx. And he said that when Karl Marx was young, his favorite quote, and he repeated it all the time, it became kind of the mantra of his life, was from the devil character in Faust, Mephistopheles. And the quote goes like this: "Everything that exists deserves to perish." And that's the key to understanding Marxism. And
yes,
that's the key to understanding critical theory, isn't it? Because critical theory is just Marxism.
It is. Critical theory is just another version of Marxism. And the system that they want to tear down, whether it's here or in Israel, it's made up of what makes us Americans or what makes us good. It's essentially the inherent rights, individual liberty, equality, values that are based in Christianity most spectacularly, like work ethic and marriage, education, these types of things. They need to overturn all of them and turn them on their head in order for them to succeed.
Okay, America is often accused of being a very racist country. Your thoughts?
I think that you see this idea of setting up the false facts, these false premises. Has racism existed in the past? Yes. Does it exist now? Yes. But the system itself is not designed to be racist. In fact, it does the very opposite. This idea of equality is based upon the diversity that creates unique individuals who have unique gifts, and all human beings have innate value. And our system from its foundation was based upon this. And so we can impose racism of individuals and superimpose that on the entire system, but that's just a false premise.
So, okay, so let's just go back to the founding of America. Okay, the founder said, our rights come from God. All men are created equal. Obviously, they did allow slavery in some of the territories. However, and most people never point this out, when they wrote up the Northwest Ordinance in the 1780s, they were basically saying, okay, future territories that become states of these United States, they will follow along the lines of this template. And one of the things they said was related to schools. They said religion, morality, and knowledge being good, necessary for good government and happiness of mankind, therefore we'll have schools. They also said that in these new territories, there should be no slavery. So in effect, slavery, which did exist in some of the states or, you know, earlier colonies that became states, that was the aberration to the foundation of the nation. It wasn't representative of the founding of the nation, as opposed to, say, the philosophy of somebody, you know, like the 1619 Project, where they're saying that's what America was all about, was enshrined, you know, instilling slavery in our very, foundation of a nation.
Indeed. Every step along the way to the creation of our Constitution, you find them trying to eliminate this evil from the foundation of our country. Now, they couldn't get a lot of people on board with some of it, so we see what the Three-Fifths Compromise and that sort of thing. But with the Northwest Ordinance was brilliant in that way. They were trying to instill the values in at the beginning, and when you look at the North, especially with Pennsylvania and places that would not enforce the fugitive slave law, and they got into trouble with some of those things. You see that it did not enshrine racism or slavery into our country. What the Constitution did, the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution did, was recognize that the innate value of every single human being, regardless of their origin or status at the time.
Okay, if the left had their will, what would they do when it comes to critical race theory? And why do groups like Antifa essentially make heroes out of criminals and criminal behavior?
Yeah, that was I don't know if you call it an epiphany, but they have to be, the criminals have to be heroes because they're anti-system. And which is why we don't always understand why they choose the heroes that they do, but it's because they are criminals. And so their goal really is more chaos, more lawlessness, in order to reverse the ideas like inherent rights, individual liberty, and actually give control to people who want to become the oppressors. Convince them that they are in the oppressed class, they need to become the oppressors, and if their side wins, then they will have the right to impose and force their will on the people who have been oppressing them for so long. The problem with this is that you're talking about the central planning of happiness. Someone other than you knows what will make you happy, what will make you healthy, what will make you successful. And they can do this for every single person. And so that's where we get into equity and the like.
You know, it's so interesting when you talk about the think about the heroes of the left. For example, I'll take a perfect example, Che Guevara. Che Guevara was Castro's, you know, hitman. He'd have all these people killed for the crime of owning a lot of property or whatever there in Cuba. And sometimes I see Che Guevara on a T-shirt, you know, here in modern America, and I think, wow, what happened? Is your Hitler shirt in the wash? I mean, you're just so that ignorant. You don't know who this guy was. He just killed a whole bunch of people. And he got so out of hand that Castro had him killed, or so the theory goes. But, boy, people, you can tell a lot by who your heroes are. You know, here, you know, where I come from, we exalt people like George Washington, Abraham Lincoln, and William Wilberforce, and, you know, great heroes of the faith. But the left holds up these thugs that are as if they're heroes. It's amazing.
Because they're doing the work of the power reversal by taking out people, by destroying what is good. They're turning evil good and good evil. And it is, that is part of the flipping of the power of that false dialectic.
Now, apparently you say in your book that former President Obama actually missed a golden opportunity regarding race. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think anyone could see that they did have hope. Okay, we can say now that, all right, we have an African-American president. This is an opportunity for him to speak to the American people and use his position as a peacemaker, to use his position as to see what you can accomplish, to set up these goals, to give them aspirations and hopes and dreams, to accomplish something, to leave the place of oppression through hard work and ambition. And instead, what we didn't see him calling for the best out of people who were looking to him to inspire them. Instead, he doubled down on the victimhood and the oppression, and focused on those people as though they were victims and they needed his help. And so I think he missed that golden opportunity of being able to inspire and set an example of how to overcome whatever obstacles or challenges you have in your life to become the most powerful person in the world. I mean, that is a golden opportunity, which was sadly missed.
We only have a couple minutes left. Critical theory not only applies to race, but it also applies to gender, the transgender movement. Comment on that, if you would.
Right. So in that case, we're looking at anti-male domination. We have masculinity. All masculinity is toxic. So maleness is the power structure that needs to be overthrown. And I want to throw out, it's not that females will now be in power. It's that the power will be anti-male. This is really kind of important to understand.
Wait. This is sort of weird. Okay. So the male swimmer who says, I'm a female, mm-hmm. and he dominates all the records and he beats, you know, he wins everything. He's somehow supposedly anti-male? I mean, that's weird. Okay, all right. We have about a minute left. Go ahead.
All right. If we just declare men women, then we've taken away the power for the men. But this is a logistical problem for critical theory, because it's absurd, right? Allowing men to participate in women's sports does not empower women, but they make the argument that it does. This is the false facts thing again. But most of us still understand it hurts the cause of women because it's so absurd. And so many things have risen to a level of absurdity that is just too difficult to ignore right now. But women are being hurt by the strategy employed to tear down society. But in the end, maleness is still being destroyed. There is still an anti-male dominance pursuit here.
All right. We have enough time for your website. It is freedomacademy-dorothy.com. And we have 15 seconds for a closing thought on this whole idea of a cultural Marxism versus our liberty.
I think it's important for people to really focus on the fact that there are people who want to destroy our civilization, our society, our culture.
Wow.
And to maybe approach this topic from a perspective of what can we do to prevent that from happening.
Dorothy Logan, thanks so much. All the best.